Welcome back to the Next Stage Business Radio Show with Pamela Muldoon. And we are set to go into our fourth segment, our final segment of our two-hour show, and it is our Leaders and Teachers segment. This is where we get to connect with an industry thought leader, a CEO, someone who's making things happen in their industry, and my hope is we can get a little inspiration and some learnings in the process. And I have on the phone with me today Mr. Dave Horsager. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you doing, Pamela?
Hey, you're there. It's so good to hear your voice in my head.
Oh, great.
I love it. All right, so Dave Horsager, you are the author of a new book, a book that just came out in the last couple of months called The Trust Edge, correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. So we are going to dive into a wonderful conversation today because, you know, we've chatted before. I totally get where you're coming from. Trust is a huge issue for a lot of companies, or actually can it can really make or break a company, and we've seen some examples of that. But before we dive into that, I want the audience to learn a little bit about you, okay?
You bet.
All right. So tell us a little bit about Dave, a brief history of you, your company, and kind of how you've evolved into this author today and traveling around the country telling speaking on the trust edge.
Sounds good. Well, probably a brief one is started out after college, went down to Arkansas, became a young director of an organization there, and was speaking a fair amount of youth and families and others. Learned some, kind of ended up being a producer of some events, and moved back to Minnesota to talk to my wife, Lisa, and I said, you know, I think we're supposed to start our own company, and so we moved back to Minnesota, and, you know, down there, we had a salary, of course, not maybe the hugest ever, but salary and benefits, and actually had a vehicle as a part of the organization, lived on a golf course. We threw everything we had into this new endeavor, and by that October, we had 60 cents in one account, 80 cents in the other account, and just dove in, and really that was all we had. We were penniless other than that, and lived in the basement of an older lady's home, no windows, black mold on the walls. Oh. I mean, so it was just an interesting experience, but we dove in, we had a vision for what we thought we might do, and over the next 12 years, we started out in a little different way than we are now, as far as producing events. We're in Japan and Spain and Paris and Latvia and all over. But basically, through that, I really began to see the impact of trust and really think through, you know, what's unique about the greatest leaders and organizations of all time.
Okay.
And I suppose people could, you know, ask that and answer it different ways, and maybe today some would say, well, engagement, or some would say leadership or broad things. But, you know, it's my opinion, and now my kind of research backs it up, I think, that it's trust. You know, without trust, leaders lose teams, and salespeople lose sales, and every organization loses productivity, profitability, retention of good people. We lose in our reputation, and we lose in our bottom line. And the other thing is, the most trusted brand, you'll pay more.
Sure.
You'll come back, and you'll tell others. And so what happened on this journey is about 6 years ago, kind of hit me thinking about the trust piece more, and I got my master's degree is in organizational leadership, and I did all my graduate research on trust, and one thing led to another, and over the last 5 years, that's been the focus of everything I do, both, you know, certainly I'm maybe more known for the speaking piece, but research, wrote, you know, the book, other writing, the 360 trust assessment that can really change organizations and leaders, the training, the consulting, the coaching, all that is around the trust edge. And certainly much of what we do out of here is for leaders and businesses, but it's been used for a host of other organizations, from schools to faith-based institutions to
sure.
whatnot. So that's a brief, I guess, of where we are now, and of course, maybe nobody online there cares about it, but the other, you know, in my story, I always bring my kids into it. And so in five, you know, for us, after moving back to Minnesota, and that's where family's from and home is from. And so we had four kids, five and under at one point.
Bless your heart.
And so that's the other part of my leadership endeavor, and hoping to build Trust Edge Kids in the midst of building Trust Edge Company.
Well, that's pretty cool. I like that. Hoping to build Trust Edge Kids. And actually, while you were talking about all the different entities that we think of in terms of trust and business, I mean, I was actually going to make the comment, of course, family or all relationships, really.
Absolutely. Yes. We want to marry or hang out with or partner with people we trust. We want to do business with people we trust. We intuitively know that. what I probably brought to the table in this whole mix is to prove out or show how trust really does affect the bottom line of an organization. We all know that, oh, it's fluffy, oh, it's fun to be with people we trust. But really, is that, why don't you just teach me a new closing technique? Or, you know,
sure.
Why don't you teach, you know what? If you're trusted, you don't need a new technique. If you're not trusted, it doesn't matter. So let's get to the most important thing, and that's trust.
Well, you know, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, trust, it's a pretty short, simple word, but it really speaks volumes in a lot of different ways. And you've started to go down this path of, we tend to think it's a soft skill. It's something that's soft. And what it's almost a mission, right, is to really get us to understand there's bottom line connection to this word trust.
Well, the first thing I would say is, I think, and you think, being a person who you are, Pamela, being who I am, I hope, we believe it's right to be trustworthy for that sake. We probably even get to be the most impactful. We need to be the most trusted. But I think it is important to understand how it affects the bottom line because, you know, companies think that way. And the truth is, of course, we can often impact more when we do have more cash flow.
Yeah.
And so if we really do have this missional, you know, to make an impact in organizations, it's okay to think this way of how it affects the bottom line, too. And I guess an example, my favorite quote from myself, not that I'm not arrogant about it.
To quote yourself, Dave.
quote myself, is a lack of trust is your biggest expense.
Okay.
A lack of trust is your biggest expense in your relationships. It's your biggest expense in your company. It's your biggest expense in your brand. It incrementally, every bit of lack of trust you have, your value goes down.
Sure.
And so just to kind of prove out how it affects the bottom line, you know, look at Tiger Woods, right? I mean, okay, here we have a guy who, you know, a breach of trust or 12 breaches of trust or whatever. I mean, you know, he in 2 weeks or so, he lost $70 million, I think it was.
Well, did he just lose another one this week?
He absolutely did. And so they dropped him. I forget the name yesterday. Yep. And so, look, people say, well, he was a billionaire or whatever. You know what? Of his $100 million a year, to lose 70, 75, maybe $80 million now, you know, that's a huge part of your income, right?
Oh, yes.
And so, and look, it's not just that. Look at the PGA.
Right.
The PGA, PGA said, you know what? 50% more viewers when Tiger's on the green. Mm-hmm. So his trust breach didn't just affect his wife and family, which frankly has a lot more life impact maybe than the financial, but look at the financial.
Yeah.
He also lost financially there, but the PGA lost. You know who hates that he breached trust now? Phil Mickelson. All these people that hated him or didn't like him because the purse just shrank significantly. And in fact, it's going to cost the PGA likely billions of dollars. His breach of trust. So, I mean, one more way to look at it, briefly, and I can, you know, obviously tell story upon story.
It's good.
Another way would be to think of your credit score. If you bought a home or anything, really, where they check your credit score, on its own, your credit score, in fact, I checked with my mortgage broker last April, and I said, well, what would it be if you had I call a credit score a trust score, because if your trust score, your credit score is higher, you will get to take more money,
mm-hmm.
you'll get it at a better rate, and they'll give you much more grace in many ways, but it costs, the more trusted you are, the less your money costs, in essence, from a bank.
Yep.
So if your credit score, at that time, if your credit score was only 720, which isn't the highest score you've ever heard of at all, but if it was up to 720, you could get a 4.75 rate.
Okay.
Now, if your score, though, was just 80 points less, 640, that's not the lowest score ever at all.
Right.
If it was only a 640, the best deal you could get that day or that week when I checked with that mortgage broker was 7.25.
Wow.
Now, just to think about it, the cost on a $500,000, well, let's even start with a $200,000 house, just the cost difference on a $200,000 house over the course of loan would be the person with the lower credit score, which wasn't super low. I'm just taking one, you know, a gradient there. What was $115,000 more on a $500,000 house, if they would even let you get a loan with your 640, because your opportunities go down with lower trust too, right?
Right, right.
So it would cost you $300,000 more for that over the course of the loan. Now that's only on the loan. What else is impacted? Your insurance is higher for lower credit. You know, so your trust score, how much your trust...
Well, for some people, it's also the job, right? I mean, people are, you know, companies are doing credit checks before they give you a job.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're trusted, and, you know, I guess one last example on this piece, maybe a simple example is, this is Jason Kotke's research, and to give him credit, and we did a lot of research out of here, too, but this maybe simplifies it so people really get it. In New York City, he said, you know what? Ralph's Coffee and Donut Stand is different than everybody else's, and he has these little, you know, on weekday mornings in New York City, they push out these little silver shop on wheels and little in the coffee and donut stands.
Okay.
Well, Ralph's was different, he noticed, and the difference with Ralph's was if you go up to Ralph's stand and you ask to buy one glazed donut, he'll shout back 75 cents. But if you try to pay Ralph a dollar bill, Ralph motions you on to the edge of his stand. He's got a little tray. It's got change thrown about. It's got money coming out of a little open box, cut cash, in New York City. And at Ralph's stand, of course, what's Ralph doing? He said, basically, you're supposed to pay what you owe and make your own change.
Right.
New York City. Well, what happens at Ralph's stand? Three things at least happen. Number one, Ralph serves twice the customers of any other stand that was researched in New York City. Number two, he serves them in half the time. Why? Because he doesn't have to make change.
Sure.
Everybody else makes change.
Nice.
Third, he has loyal customers, all because of trust.
Nice.
And you can think of it all with a supplier you have, one supplier.
Yep.
You know, I trust them, one phone call. Supplier I don't trust, 10 faxes, 8 emails, bunch of brain damage later, I still don't get what I want. So, you know, trust really is a driver that people need to understand. And I think it's the best way, but it really is the only way of sustained success. You and I have seen people kind of get to the top on talent or something, but really, of all the organizations we researched, the only ones that had a lasting success, lasting impact, and lasting even financial success were ones that were most trusted. And, of course, you know, that's why I think it's more important than anything else.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, Dane. When we come back, we're going to talk about the pillars of trust that are so important, a part of the Trust Edge book that you've written, and dissect some of the characteristics so that we can start working on this ourselves, okay? All right, so we're going to be back with Dave Horsager, the author of The Trust Edge. You're listening to Next Stage Business Radio Show on Business 1570. Welcome back to the Next Stage Business Radio Show. I'm your host, Pamela Muldoon, and we have with us today Dave Horsager, and he is the author of this really great book called The Trust Edge. Hi, Dave. You still there with us?
I am.
Oh, good, because you've got some really great stories. We were actually talking on break about the whole PGA thing from your Tiger comment. I mean, I had not thought about it that way, and that really struck a chord in terms of the ripple effect that trust or lack of trust with your consumers, we'll just say consumers just for a general, you know, statement. But when that happens, man, the ripple effect's amazing. Now, you have really dedicated the last few years of your personal and professional life around the study of trust.
Absolutely.
And you've written this great book called The Trust Edge, so I want to make sure that our folks know that. But one of the things, like you said, you really put more of an I don't want to say a real high level, you know, academic, not fun to read, right? But an academic approach to this concept of trust, and the way you've done that is to break it into 8 pillars. Okay.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about the 8 pillars of trust.
The 8 pillars of trust are basically when we said, you know, before I started my graduate research and said, you know, okay, what's unique about the top leaders and organizations of all time? Trust. Then what is it that makes people, leaders, brands, organizations trusted? What are the components that make someone really trusted? And first I should back up and say, you know, what's unique? Why do we call it the trust edge? Well, it's the advantage that when you're trusted, that bottom line and top line and, you know, person-to-person advantage of those that are really trusted. And I should even start by saying, I don't believe we should trust everyone just because I'm a, you know, people say, oh, Dave, you're a trust expert. I bet you think you should trust everyone. No way.
Right.
I wouldn't trust that person in a million years. I've seen, but I will say this. When you, if I can use improper grammar, when you be trusted, when you be the most trusted,
right,
yourself personally, you be the most successful. So the most trusted brand is the most successful. The most trusted person, even on the trust index, you know, which is out every year on, you know, types of industries that are less or more trusted. You might have, you know, near the top, nurses, firefighters, near the bottom, mortgage brokers, lawyers, whatever, but you can find a trusted lawyer and a trusted mortgage broker, of course, and they're always the most successful in their industry.
When
you
find,
you know, so trust impacts all those. So when we, you know, came up with the pillars, basically it was just through research in the academic world. Based on my graduate research, I kind of found six or seven came into my dissertation or graduate work, and one more kind of came out of some more research that was, you know, kind of significant. So we kind of, I feel like, well, you know, we could have an encyclopedia on trust. Of course, it's a broad topic. These eight really get at what it takes to be the most trusted leader, organization, salesperson, brand of all time. And so here they are. You
all
ready?
Right, I'm ready.
You want them all at once?
Well,
listed and then talk about them, or you want to go one by one? And
let's just do one by one, and then just very briefly, you know,
yep,
like just take a little bit with each one just to give a
okay
sense of what that word means in terms of your book.
Okay, so clarity. People, in essence, they trust the clear, and they mistrust or distrust the ambiguous. And this is in communication, in expectations. This is in vision. I mean, most of the organizations I go work with, nobody in their organization knows the vision. They don't know the strategic plan. But when you find an organization that does know it, then those people trust their leadership.
Okay.
They trust the organization.
Excellent.
And I can give you an example of that maybe later. Compassion is the next one.
Number two is compassion.
Number two is
okay
compassion.
Excellent.
And the thing about compassion is sometimes, you know, there's still several organizations that just don't get this. They don't get the value of caring. And we know, you and I know, it's fun to care, and it's the best way to care in life. You know, life's short. What impact are we going to make? But the truth is, it's also a very major bottom line impactor.
Right.
You know, to think of attrition, for instance, Saratoga, a bit of research, said, you know, of these, all these employees, let's ask the managers why they think they left, and 89% of the managers said, well, we think it was for reasons other than pay. And, of course, then they asked the people, why did you leave? Oh, no, excuse me, the managers, 89% of them said pay.
Okay, yep, very common.
And, of course,
yep,
and then almost the same number, 91% of the people that actually left said it was for reasons other than pay.
Okay.
And the truth is, it was because they didn't care. Well, in another study, pay was the fifth reason people left, ahead of it being cared about, listened to, appreciated, and respected.
Mm.
And so to show how, I mean, just think how much it costs to hire someone.
Right.
It is an incredible expense to turn someone over. So that's one area. I mean, it's in a lot of other areas, too. But compassion, really showing you can think beyond yourself, care about the whole, care about the team. When you find organizations and brands that do that, they're trusted. And the truth is, people want to be around them, hang out with them, buy from them, and you know, do business with them.
Right, so, absolutely.
Compassion. That would be another one that would be fun if we have time later to maybe talk a little bit more specifically about those first two.
Okay.
Especially, but the third one is character. And the interesting thing about character is, intuitively, it seems like when people do talk about trust, they think that's all it is character. Now, character is a fundamental pillar, no doubt about it. And it's obviously hard to teach after age five, but it is important. People have done kind of character training in companies, and their bottom line has gone up as a direct result of that one change. Or they've set up systems that have improved character. You know, it's an interesting thing about, to show the difference. Enron, for instance, had a beautifully clear mission, and it even sounded compassionate. The problem is the culture didn't back the mission. The culture backed this lack of character. That's what the real what was empowered, and look what happened.
Sure,
but
yeah.
We see all the time, as I said before, people get to the top on talent for a moment or for a time. They just never stay there if there's a lack of character.
Sure.
And this is the problem with a lot of organizations saying to a salesperson, boy, that salesperson, look at the results they're giving. Look at, they're doing great, but they're kind of doing it unethically. They're kind of doing it in a shady way. It comes back to bite them every time. We've never seen one time, not one, where they really have lasted without character. So, anyway, now, it's not the reason I say it's not the only thing is we can talk about one coming up, and that's the fourth one, and that's competency. That's in essence being competent and capable to do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So, for instance, with you, Pamela, I might trust you with my kids because I know your character, the third pillar, is high. I will not trust you, though, to give me a root canal because you're not competent in that area.
And never will be.
Right. So it is very important to all, that's why all, we've seen all eight of these pillars in the trusted brands and leaders. And that's why it's important to work on all of them. You can have high character, but if you have no competency, you know, nobody trusts you.
Right.
In that, you know, so competency is critical. When we talk about competency, we're really talking about how to stay fresh, how to stay competent, you know, and this shows itself in people that they keep learning. In fact, Harvard Business Review put out this research recently. I thought it was fascinating. And they said, what's the most necessary skill today for MBAs to come out of Harvard? The most necessary skill is not any specific skill, but the ability to learn amidst chaos.
Interesting.
And so in this chaotic world that we live in, the important thing is to be able to stay competent, stay fresh,
right,
learn quickly. And that's where that is. And that really just takes a desire to keep learning, to stay, you know, fresh in your area, not at everything. Like you said with the person ahead of you, ahead of me on the interview, hey, someone else can do your web stuff.
Yep.
Someone else can do this. But you've got to stay competent at what you're going to be trusted in. And that might mean having other people do, you know, the things that you don't need to.
So. Absolutely. And so what we're going to do, because we have to take care of a couple bills here, and when we come back, we're going to finish off the pillar conversation and then also make sure that we know how to connect with you, Dave, to get this book, The Trust Edge, and finish things up. So this is a great conversation. So timely with all that's going on in our world. So we've got Dave Horsager. He's the author of The Trust Edge, and we're coming back to finish out his 8 Pillars of Trust. You're listening to Next Stage Business Radio Show. I'm Pamela Muldoon, and you're listening to Business 1570. Welcome back to the Next Stage Business Radio Show. Pamela Muldoon with Dave Horsager, author of The Trust Edge. And before we went to break, we were walking through the 8 pillars of trust, Dave. And so we got through 4. We got 4 more to go. So let's pick up where we left off. Number 5 is what?
Number 5 is commitment.
Commitment.
And it's just this, when you see someone committed to a great thing, a great cause, even to your company, you'll tend to be committed too. Frankly, this is the one that's least easy to teach. It's, you got to see it in your leadership. Even this week I was asked to kind of speak on empowerment to a group, and I said, hey, if the systems aren't empowering them, if the leadership isn't empowering them, they're not going to feel empowered. You don't just tell someone be empowered, right? Don't
right.
just tell someone be committed. But the commonality of the committed people is sacrifice. They're willing to sacrifice for others. That's why we trust, or people trusted, Martin Luther King or Gandhi or Jesus, or people that were willing to sacrifice for a cause they, you know, believed in. Next one is connection. That's number 6, the ability to connect with others. There's so many things we could say around that, and it often starts with the compassion pillar, but it goes beyond that, the ability to connect. We want to, you know, be with, hang out, do business with friends, and that's
absolutely
the connection piece.
Right.
Number 7 is contribution, and that really speaks to the ability to deliver results. We still trust results. Well, you know, I kind of knocked it under the character chapter, or what I said about character, because, you know, character is so important over the long haul. However, we still want results. And so if you don't deliver results, I probably won't trust you.
Right.
Finally, really my favorite and the one that overarches basically everything is consistency, because people trust the consistent. It's the only way to build a trusted brand is being the same every time. The only way to trust a trusted reputation. You know, I say brilliance or a brilliant act is exciting and interesting. It's only trusted if it's consistent. And that's the same with an actor or actress that you trust. You know, it's because that's why they get the $20 million contracts, because
right.
they deliver every time, not because they're one of those one-and-done actor or actresses. It's why we trust McDonald's. We might not even like McDonald's, but we trust them because we've had the same burger in Tokyo, Frankfurt, and Cleveland.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing.
Well, they always deliver. You know,
they always deliver the same thing. And so I say nobody likes surprises unless the birthday's involved. And it's true. People want to know what you're going to be like. They want not someone that's going to deliver different every time or be moody. What are they going to feel like? What are they going to sound like? They want someone that's going to be the same. So, and the frankly, any of these pillars, if they aren't consistent, they're nothing. So character, inconsistent, is no character at all. Compassion,
sure.
If it's inconsistent, you really don't care. Or you only care in your own terms. Commitment that's sporadic and inconsistent, is that really commitment? So consistency is so critical. And, boy, I could talk a lot more about that passionately, but there you are.
Well, and that's part of why I love talking to you, Dave, because you're very passionate about this topic and looking at these pillars. And like you said, they're so interwoven, you know.
Absolutely.
They're extremely interwoven. And we talked a little bit about some organizations or people that have had their trust, you know, in question recently or, you know, as examples. What's a good example of an organization that's using trust really well and actually improving or having success because they're doing it well?
There are several, and if we had time, I could give you many, even though all the ones that hit the news are not these.
Right.
So there's small ones like, you know, Wide World of Travel, Inc., that is this one-guy shop that does millions of dollars in business in a time when most people do for travel? They go online and get
right.
the cheapest fare. This guy, of course, he has a niche industry in that he does small groups, but he has more. I meet with him every week. And he has more business than he can handle.
Wow.
And he is so, really, he's a great example of all eight pillars. If he ever makes a mistake, or even if another airline makes a mistake, he'll pay for it. He'll take care of it. He takes care of people when they're going to send their groups overseas for a trip, or even some churches for mission trips, or a soccer team from, you know, college. And those groups go to him, and they love him, and he has way more business than he can handle.
That's
a
awesome.
Good, bigger example in our area, and there are several good examples in our area of some big companies that really do have the trust edge, but one of them is Caribou Coffee. I mean, here's a company that's second to Starbucks in rapid time, and, you know, it's just unbelievable what's happened with Caribou, but Caribou Coffee, Maybe if I give one, I could go over their whole, you know, a lot about them. But one example is how clear they are in teaching their frontline workers to be a certain way.
Right.
And they have a strategy called BAMA, B-A-M-A. And everybody, you can go to any 16-year-old barista and ask them, what's BAMA? Go
right.
there today if you want to know.
So my son is one, so I'm going to have to go ask him.
Ask him, because it's an actionable strategy. Some people have these apple pie in the sky visions.
Right.
And that's okay, because they unify people and motivate people to a degree. But BAMA is so actionable. It's be excellent, not average. And the A stands for act with urgency. And the M stands for make a connection. And the other A stands for something else great.
Well, I'll find out from my son. I'll let you know.
But, yeah, and they know it's anticipate needs. And you
right.
think of how you're served there.
Yep.
Certainly people can say, I bet you they've had some bad relationship or bad situation sometimes. But by and large, Caribou is so incredibly
right.
consistent in their service.
And
even young people, you know, doing it.
And I agree. I'm a big fan of the Caribou Coffee. And so we want to make sure. I have to wrap it up. Only about 30 seconds left in my whole show. Tell everybody how we connect with you very quickly.
Okay. DaveHorsager.com, www.DaveHorsager.com.
Okay.
You can see my speaking and everything else there. The book site is thetrustedge.com.
Excellent. Awesome.
Don't forget the
The
Trust Edge. Dot com, and DaveHorsteiner.com or the trustedge.com.
All right. Well, Dave, I got to wrap it up. All right. At Next Stage Business Radio Show, thanks so much for being with us this week. We'll see you next week. I'm Pamela Muldoon. This is Business 1570.
Well, I was born in a small town.